Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
ESPN 97.5 KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Which can cause cramping and diarrhea.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? Yeah, the weekend is upon us. It's on deck. And we are here on an FBI Friday to take you on home and have some fun along the way. Barry in Little Rock, Arkansas, on the World Tour of Comedy as we get ready for another weekend excursion for you, Barry. And then you'll be back on Monday. Nick here in studio calling us bitches, which
Barry
is always nice.
More hungover than I do right now.
There was a lot of alcohol consumed last night.
I could tell.
Oh, yeah. Nick's yeah. Right. Yeah. I thought you were just kind of just slowly getting into the show, but yeah, now that you're talking,
No, there was I didn't partake in the hippie lettuce last night, but there was an extraordinary amount of alcohol consumed. We had a show, and I usually drink on stage, but I take one drink with me, and then somebody bought me a drink right after, and usually that happens. I mean, when you have a good set and people really like you, they want to buy you a drink or whatever. So that was no big deal, but the drink I took on stage, the bartender made it, and, you know, when you learn how to bartend, I don't know if you guys ever bartended before, but when you learn how to bartend, they'll teach you how to pour a shot, and it's just a count to three. So you turn the bottle over, one, two, three. Well, I usually get it in a tall glass, so I just get one shot of whiskey, and then I fill up a tall glass with Diet Coke, take that on stage. This dude filled up a tall glass about three quarters full of whiskey, and it literally just had a splash of Coke in it. So I'm not used to that. I mean, that was like four of those for me. So I drank that whole thing during my set. Then I get the next drink that somebody bought me. Then we go to an open mic, and this dude buys me two more drinks because he was at the show and happened to just be at the same bar that the open mic was at. And then we went home, and I had bought a six-pack of beer, but like the 16-ounce tall boys, and drank about four of those. And I was just like, all right, I can't stand right now. I've got to go to bed because I've got to work in the morning. I got up at 11:50.
Yeah.
I'm feeling great.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling great.
Outstanding. You and Nick both, because all I knew is I woke up this morning and, you know, it's picture day for Taylor. So, like, as guys, we don't get into it. Like, you just make sure you smile, right, and don't look like you got a thumb up your ass when you take the picture. No. Lisa went through like four outfits last night, and I'm trying to watch the draft and the game, and she keeps coming out, which outfit, babe? Which I go, I don't care. She goes, well, with this background, I don't care. She's like, well, have her wear this shirt with a jacket, but then she doesn't have to wear the jacket the rest of the day. Tell the school. I'm like, I drop her off. I don't want her to cry. As minute she's not crying, so I go through all these. I'm just like, oh, my God. I had to get her there like half hour earlier. So I'm sitting there going, I'm just worried about being on time. And then there's like this dramatic outfit she's got to wear. And then I look at Twitter, and the first thing I see is from last night, Nick's tweet that says, I am trying to avoid drunk tweeting right now. And I'm like, oh, Friday's going to be fun.
Thankfully, Uberito came through and brought some greasy food, because otherwise I would feel
Do you
really,
like
really
Uberito?
Right.
Who doesn't?
That's
Granato.
You sound like John Granato.
Yeah.
You sound like John Granato.
Boy, Bear, you missed out on Saltgrass on Wednesday.
Oh, my God.
And Uberito on Friday. Yeah. And the interns, by the way, are holding court. I walk in and Esme goes, hey, there's food back there. And I walk in and the interns are go, this is our food. But you can have some. And I'm like, didn't know. I'm not trying to intrude or anything. And, you know, Rachel's like, no. This is an intern appreciation lunch. I go, well, I'm the one that appreciates you, so that's fine.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I just walked in and just – I just grabbed, like, three tacos. I didn't care.
Yeah, that's par for the course.
I got to ask something here, fellas. So, Nick, you and I are friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
And was your when is your birthday? Was it yesterday?
No, it's in a couple – that's what Jordan asked me. I just did one of those birthday, like, Facebook – birthday fundraisers, so it's leading up to my birthday. My birthday is not until May 10th. Yeah,
I was freaking out because I thought it was in May because I was like, "Oh, we're both in May."
I knew you both were.
And
in
then,
May.
Huh?
You're in May too, right, Barry? Yeah.
Yeah, May 29th.
Yeah.
And yours is May 10th, Nick.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I saw it and I was like, "Oh my God! Did he move his birthday? Was it just like more convenient to move it up to April? I didn't know what happened." So you started the fundraiser. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I don't care about people that much. I mean, that's sweet.
What are
you
raising
you
funds for, Nick?
It's a place that I volunteer for. Missing. Well, that's coming up next. That's after the birthday. But
it's the Let Us Entertain You Fund.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hippie lettuce.
I like that, Joel. Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, it's for Missing Persons of Texas. It's a place I volunteer for. So it's a good cause, nice. Man. People are resilient, and they, you know, they have loved ones that are missing. Not for just 2, 3, 4 years. Some of them for like 20 years, and they never give up.
Oh my gosh!
And it's really hard. And so I try to volunteer at least once a month.
That's awesome.
That's great, man. So yeah, I'm seeing it on the Facebook page. It's the Texas Center for the Missing.
Correct.
Put it on Twitter.
Raising funds for.
I did yesterday.
Okay, cool.
And your goal was.
It was modest. I've never done one of these things before, so I just set it at 200. That was what Facebook suggested, so I just left it at 200.
Okay. You know what? We can do this today. We can get to 200 today because of our listeners.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Do they have to be friends with you? On Facebook to donate?
I really don't know.
Well, if you put it on Twitter, then they don't.
Yeah, I put the link on Twitter. I can retweet it.
I'm
going to
tweet it out. You guys retweet it. We're going to at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. I'm going to donate. You guys need to donate. Let's get this thing to 200 before. I want to get to 200 before 2:00. Can we do that?
F yeah.
All right, I'm going to go donate. Joel, have you donated yet?
I didn't know it was there. I will have to get on that.
Speaking of all F right, yeah, cool. Who's the comedian of the week, sir?
Well, I let Barry.
Ashton Womack. My buddy Ashton Womack. We kind of started together. Ashton is one of those guys that when I started, I looked at and thought, oh, this dude's going to be famous one day. And Ashton, young dude, really funny. You watch a guy on stage and you think to yourself, and that guy's really like likable and personable and has great stage presence. And then when he starts telling his jokes, he's absolutely hilarious. He's real young, but really good at comedy. And so good, in fact, after a couple years, he's already moved to New York. And he hinted to me that you might see him on late night TV later this year.
Uh-oh.
And he's already doing the college circuit and touring colleges. So this dude's going to blow up one day. I'm telling you, write this name down, put it in your wallet, put it in your phone and save it for later. You will know who Ashton Womack is. And he's hilarious. So that's our Houston-based comedian of the week.
So 115, 215, 315, you'll get clips from Ashton Womack, and we'll fill you in along the way. But that's good to have our comedian of the week back this week. So that's cool. And then we'll have our regular comedian every day of the week back on Monday in the studio. We've got lots to get to, including the NFL draft, which was actually compelling television to some degree last night. There was a game to talk about in basketball. The Rockets may know their opponent after tonight. So we've got a long list of things to get to as we continue to roll on with the show. And we, of course, are going to try and raise money for Nick for a great cause. Throughout the show, so we'll get that out there as well. If you want to reach us for any of those reasons or otherwise, 713-780-3776. That's the HR&P listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter so you know exactly what we're doing here today. It's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick. One of us was sober last night and is okay today. We'll continue to roll on. It's the usual suspects. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I'm learning about things about my family in weird ways. Like this year, my cousin came out the closet. Came out the closet. He did it the wrong way. He did it on Facebook. Yeah, nobody believed him. He was on Facebook. He's like, hey, y'all, I'm gay. And all the comments was like, hey, man, somebody got your phone. Your brother. Bro, you've been hacked. Get your phone back. What's going on?
Nobody believed him.
They had to make another status. All caps. No, for real. I'm gay. Hey, man, it's been like 6 hours. Change your password. What's going on? You still got your phone. What's up? Like, for people to actually believe him, he had, like, upload a picture of him and his boyfriend making out. That's how far he had to go. That's when we were all like, oh, okay. Yo, this hacker's good with Photoshop, dog. Delete your Facebook.
There you have it. That is our comedian of the day. That is Ashton Womack. Barry told you a little bit about him. We'll have clips 115, 215, 315 on Ashton. So good stuff there as we are back and rolling on an FYF Friday. I told Nick, Barry, but just real quick, got home last night, and it was the first time that we were supposed to have, I don't like the name Bo. I like the name Cam, short for camera, because he has one eye and three legs. But we got the dog back, and I'm thinking everything's cool, and I'm looking forward to playing with him a little bit and getting him comfortable in the house. And I go put my stuff down. I come back in, and I'm like, where's the dog? She's like, oh, I got him in my makeup room in his crate. I'm like, okay, cool. All of a sudden, she goes, I'll go get him. All of a sudden, I hear her scream, and I'm like, what is going on?
Oh, no.
And she's like, well, I thought it was just like with our dogs, where when you put them in the crate, you just have to fasten the top latch. And the dogs just know not to, they're not going to push on the door or anything. They're going to stay put in the crate. And it's a big crate, open air crate. Instead, he decided that if he pushed hard enough on the bottom portion of the door that he could squeeze out. He's got headgear on. He's got the wrap because of the amputation of the leg. He squeezed out of the cage and in the process, like, pulled back his wrap with his incision. And I got blood. I got blood on the carpet, and I got her screaming.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, not now. I just got home. And she's like, we've got to get him back to the vet. And I'm like, oh, God. So then it was like the emergency trip back to the vet. And then the vet said they were going to keep him overnight because he was due to have his, whatever they call it, the wrap changed this morning anyway. So we'll get him back this afternoon. But I was bummed. I was like, looking forward to have the dog at home and everything. And then we had to rush him to the vet. So hopefully he'll be home to stay for the whole weekend. We'll get him home this afternoon.
That's wild. That sucks, dude. Yeah, I saw the picture of him. That's a cute dog, too.
Yeah, and that's how great our listeners are. That's why I have no doubt we'll get $200 by 2 o'clock because not only do we have a ton of
news
people
flash.
Donate. Yeah.
Newsflash. Christina.
Okay, I saw that.
At Pink Valkyrie on Twitter.
Yeah.
Donated $100. Got us right to $200.
Man, solid. That is super cool.
Isn't that awesome?
She's a loyal.
Christina
too.
Is.
Yeah, she is.
Dude. Listener of the week, no doubt. Probably the month. She just stepped up, did the $100, got us to $200.
Shout out to Christina,
thank you,
man.
Christina.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and that's the same way they were with Bo. I mean, when we were raising money for his surgery, and people just stepped up. Now we have, I think, 3 or 4 listeners that want to adopt him. So
nice.
Yeah, it's just pretty. You guys are awesome, and we appreciate you. If we don't say that enough, and we do try
so
to,
much.
You guys are awesome.
So, I mean, I hate a few of you, but I like the rest of you.
Yeah, I mean, it's like anything else. I mean, there's a good 7% of the audience that one of the three of us dislikes at some point. But other than that, the other 93% are great.
Love them. Love them to death.
I literally hate one person, and I'm not even going to mention his name.
No, yeah, now I got to know.
I already do.
I've told you guys off the air. I'm not even going to mention his name.
Is this the one that you...
Oh, I know who it is.
You unfollowed?
I know who it is.
Correct.
Yes, I know exactly who it is.
Jimi Hendrix.
Absolute... Yeah. You little fairy. An absolute douche, man. Just an absolute douche.
Oh, God, that's great. That is too good.
So did y'all watch the draft at all last night?
Dude, I was on stage the whole time, but I'm updating my phone before and after, and I'm watching it unfold. There was some surprising stuff that went on, no doubt. I did feel like a champion, though, when I saw that first pick come in.
Because
everyone teased me when I said it.
No, I was like, just, at the time, I was the, you know, like we do, I was the reality.
You made fun of me.
I did not. I brought to the table the mocks at the time that said he wasn't in the top 10 yet. But hey, you had it right.
There were some that said he wasn't first round.
Yeah. Yep.
When I brought it up.
The Browns are getting killed by a lot of people this morning, still not believing that he's going to turn out to be okay.
Well, because a lot of people are saying what I kind of mentioned when I brought up Baker Mayfield in the first round, you know, being the first pick of the draft, and what he could be Johnny Manziel, he could be Drew Brees, he's probably somewhere in the middle, but he's got that kind of he reminds me of either one of those, just depending on which way his career goes. I'm not saying he'll be as good as Drew Brees, but if you were looking at opposite ends of the spectrum of where he's going to fall, I think those are the two ends. Your 0 to 100 is Manziel and Brees. And he'll be somewhere in the middle and in that category. I don't think he's going to be great, but I think that if you watched him play, which I did watch some of his games, man, he's one of those guys that, unlike Johnny Manziel, he can throw the ball.
He throws it accurate, yes.
Yeah, he's a good passer. Johnny Manziel was pretty much, if you ever played street football, he was the guy that would do the pass for kick. That's all he did to Mike Evans. So it's going to be interesting. I just feel like the Browns might have screwed that up, because then with that fourth pick, them taking Denzel Ward, mm-hmm. with Bradley Chubb still on the board, it was like, I get it. I think Ward's a decent pick, but I was like, oh, I feel like I would have taken Bradley Chubb no matter what. Chubb on one side.
And Myles Garrett on the other.
Myles Garrett. But instead now, you've got Bradley Chubb on one side and Von Miller on the other in Denver, and that's scary.
Yeah, because Case Keenum just got a whole lot happier because he knows that defense is going to keep them in every single game with what they got going. But the thing that was awesome to me was the fact that with every quarterback that went, and four in the top 10 and five overall in the first round, as Jackson went with the last pick, or one of the last picks in the first round, the best thing was, as you were mentioning, and then with Ward, the surprise pick at four, quality players kept sliding. And it's like, even tonight, starting right off the top, there are a ton of talented players that thought they were going to be first-round picks that are sitting there waiting at the start of the second round, and you're like, man, that's why it's fun to watch with all the trades and everything that was going on around the fact that teams were going, whoa, I still could get this player at this pick. And like we said,
well,
quality players were falling into teams' laps left and right, because you mentioned Denver, Barry. Denver was primed to either draft a quarterback or trade back, and then Chubb falls right in their lap. And there's nothing wrong with having a Chubb fall in your lap, if you know what I mean.
Oh, no. And I found it interesting because, I mean, some of those decisions kind of changed the way that the whole draft fell. I mean, with Buffalo grabbing Josh Allen, there was two questionable picks that I think most people can agree upon. And it happened at 27 and 28. Seattle taking Rashad Penny, a running back out of San Diego State.
Yep.
When guys like Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel and Darius Geis are all on the board,
mm-hmm.
and so now those guys fall. I mean, Sonny Michel got taken by the Patriots. So you just made the Seahawks did nobody in the NFL a favor by drafting Penny and leaving one of those three running backs, because now New England just got better at running back. That Sonny Michel, I think, is a much better running back than Penny, and we'll have to wait and see. But now you've got two first-round quality running backs that will fall to the second round. So we talked about Cleveland. Man, wouldn't that be great if they could get their quarterback and running back of the future? Well, they went defense with that second pick, but they have the first pick in the draft. They could actually get a running back that could be a starter on day one in round two to start it off. It's crazy.
It really, really is. And I mean, when you look at what happened in the offseason for the Patriots, and we were talking about all the guys that left, but getting a guy like Sonny Michel right there at the end of the first round, and you're like, well, there's their replacement at running back, and he's going to fit in perfectly because he can catch the ball out of the backfield, but he fits kind of that combo running back that they like to use when they use running back by committee, and it's going to work out just great for them. So it's going to be interesting to see. But there were a lot of interesting moves. I kept thinking, if you're a Cowboys fan, you know, they kept saying, and the buzz was, and everybody kept saying to me leading up to, because the Packers were supposedly looking at wide receiver too. I was getting a lot of tweets. Everybody's like, oh my God, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, I get it. I get it. I do. And then all of a sudden, the kid from Alabama slides right into the Cowboys' lap.
Ridley.
Yeah. And you're like, oh my God, the Cowboys are going to replace Dez with Ridley. It's all going to be perfect for the Cowboys. And they go and they take the linebacker from Boise State. And on top of taking the linebacker from Boise State, Jerry and the family intentionally were one of two teams that took the whole 6 minutes just to make sure that they went to that camera in their war room enough for them to take a family picture. And then I was like, really? And, you know, and then Crystal Collins and Dre on 290 are Cowboy fans. And they're like, no, this is one of the kids that we wanted. I'm like, okay. I'm thinking, okay, you can tell me that all you want, that you need an eventual replacement for Lee. But Ridley would have been perfect right there and would have made people stop talking so much about what's going to happen after Dez.
Well, and that's the thing you have to think about. Who's going to have a bigger impact? And you know, you look at with Hearns as your one, mm-hmm. and then to me, just a bunch of guys. Is you've already got Sean Lee, Jalen Smith, but you add Vander Esch to that mix. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so now they've got a great linebacking core, but you still had two quality linebackers. You could have added Ridley and had two quality linebackers and two quality receivers.
Right.
So now they're saying, but I think I did read that they were eyeing that kid from Boise State, but
yeah.
I just felt like Ridley would have. I'm surprised Ridley fell all the way to 20. What was it, 26?
Yeah.
The Falcons.
And the Falcons. And now look, the Falcons and I'm like, have they got him, Sanu.
Julio Jones.
They have Julio Jones and Sanu already. And I'm like, so either there is something to that Julio Jones pulling everything Falcons off of his social media, or they just got one hell of a trio of wide receivers for Matt Ryan lined up. So that's crazy. And then, you know, you look at the Cowboys and all their moves. And at least if they didn't have good players over the last couple of years, at least now we know after this, I don't know if you saw this, Barry, or not, but after this morning, that at least the Cowboys are grooming broadcasters, even if they can't play football, because Jason Witten just retired, and he's contemplating taking the job as the analyst on Monday Night Football following Tony Romo. So, hey, even if they can't win on the field, they can win in the booth, and they get paid to do it.
Who do you think was a better value in the first round? I mean, or what do you think was the best? I feel like Ridley. To get Ridley at 26,
it's pretty good.
I don't think many people thought that. I tell you, I think the best value might be the running backs that didn't get drafted. That are going to fall the second round.
They're going to go in a hurry too, because there's a lot of people that are right there with us saying, in what I was saying yesterday too. Nick Chubb was the go-to guy almost all year, and then Sonny Michel was rated higher. Whoever gets Nick Chubb's going to get a quality football player, and he slid. So that's going to be. I think, like I said,
he was my kind of sleeper. I mean, I think a lot of people gave up on the dude because of the injuries, and I mentioned it yesterday. I feel like, man, that guy is poised to do some special stuff. So
yeah, no doubt about it. Should be fun. Second, third round tonight. So that'll continue. Lots of big NBA games as well. So we'll continue to roll on with lots more to talk about. If you guys want to talk about football in the draft, or you want to talk about the Texans getting their first draft pick tonight, hopefully, we can do that. Otherwise, we can change the subject and get to basketball, baseball. The Astros are back on the field tonight against the A's. So lots to get to. Give us a call, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the show. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel, joined as we always are on Fridays by Charlie Polillo. He is the host of the Charlie Polillo Show. It's 11 to 1 on SportsMap 94.1, which is our sister station. Charlie, welcome in. I was going to ask you guys, I assume you watched the draft last night.
In and out.
Okay.
Playoff games, basketball, hockey.
Hockey for you, really?
Oh, in the playoffs?
Yeah, well, I tell people all the time,
pro sports.
Playoff hockey is fantastic. Live playoff hockey is even better. But with everything that's going on right now with the draft and with basketball, I'm not watching hockey.
So it's Barry with us from?
Say hello to your boy, Barry.
Not parts unknown.
What's up, Charlie?
Where you at?
Little Rock, Arkansas.
I drove through there the night there was a tornado.
Dirt road?
Many years ago. A town named Otter Creek, I think, just outside of Arkansas. And who'd have thought there'd be a town named Otter Creek in Arkansas? Hey, here's my question for you, Barry, and then Joel, not to interrupt the very first thing that I do. But I guess
You already did and screwed the whole flow up, so go right ahead.
Barry, have you seen Barry yet?
I have not.
The Bill Hader HBO show?
No, I have. I heard about it, but I haven't seen it yet.
I'm liking it.
I guess I'm required to watch it.
Well, I don't know about required. You stumble into that yet?
No.
You had a slow.
We have HBO, but Bill Hader is a quirky. And
yeah, you really... get a slow half hour. I found it entertaining. I think I've seen 3 of the 4 episodes or 5 episodes so far. That's all. Joel, okay. Have you seen Joel? Yeah.
No. You got anything else? Or
future products?
Okay. Just checking. Have a good week, guys. Just checking. Hey, thanks for stopping in. I was going to ask you guys, one of the things I really enjoyed about watching the draft last night, and I wasn't sure how it was going to go, I liked the talent that was doing the game, analyzing the draft. I thought I was going to miss Gruden, but I really liked the fact that Herb Street got into it with Mel Kiper. I liked the fact that they were mixing it up, that people were not holding back when one of the guys liked Baker Mayfield, the other guy didn't. I love Lewis Riddick because you get a guy that's been in the front office, in war rooms, been through drafts. And I like the good mix and combo. I think Barry, first and foremost, I'm sure you'll be on board with this. I like Trey Wingo a whole lot better than Berman. And
oh yes,
I thought don't set the bar too high.
But I thought the dialogue in between picks, which sometimes can get quite boring, I thought it was really good last night.
Well, I don't know how many years ago now they finally woke up and realized 15 minutes between picks, just too freaking long. The first it takes six and a half hours. So I don't care that attention spans are shorter now and people can't focus on anything for longer than what was I talking about? But a draft that goes that long, so what is it, 3.5 hours? 3:45 maybe for the first round? So I just think it moves.
It was
better.
Rolling. It was rolling last night, 6 minutes between picks.
And Wingo's just very good, not because you can hear his show mornings split between 97.5 and 94.1. So I'm with you.
Kiss ass.
Bringing Herb Street, who watches the college game, so a little different perspective. Mm-hmm. I thought Gruden got better in recent years, being willing to be a little more critical. But to just sit and watch it straight through with other stuff going on. My favorite moment of the night, Goodell. I think in part he's the wrestling heel. Boomy, boy, he likes it. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, they don't want it too out of control. So he's coming out for his opening remarks. Welcome. Great to be in Arlington. You're the best fans. But he needed an entourage so it wouldn't get too vicious. So yeah. He brings out Staubach, Aikman, and who knew? A third former Dallas Cowboy, Jason Whitner. Yep. It sounds that way.
Yep.
Did you happen to see, they have three balls to just throw out in the crowd. Staubach
threw, he let it fly.
I'm guesstimating, I'm going to go 30, 35 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
Looked like a pretty good spiral. The man is 76 years old.
Yeah.
So if we had one of those tire drills where you have a tire here 15 yards out, a tire there 25 yards out, and if you want to go for the big money, there's a tire 40 yards out. 10 footballs. Of what I saw last night, I might take Staubach over Brandon Whedon today.
Okay. All right. And if you haven't seen this either, especially Cowboy fans, online on social media, they did a thing. I think the Cowboys actually put it out there. It was Jason Garrett against Dak trying to put it in the garbage can in all different places in the stadium. Right. And Garrett beat Dak.
Well, then I'm definitely taking Staubach over Whedon.
So there you go. I mean, there might be something to it. Barry, you good with the announcers last night?
You know, because I was on stage, I didn't get a chance to watch much of it. Yeah, so I don't know. But anything, to me, all you had to say was Chris Berman wasn't there, and yeah, I'm good with it.
I figured. But here's the other thing that was, and if you have a chance, maybe you can catch some of the clips on YouTube. But the one thing that you get into when you get people that haven't had experience in broadcasting is Lewis Riddick's headset went dead, and he was just, that's it. And so he thought he wasn't on camera, and he was. And he was so frustrated and mad that at one point he just basically said, well, I guess I'm just going to stay silent until they fix this thing. And then Trey Wingo had to go and say they had technical problems. It happens in broadcasting. But like, you know how it is. You got headphones on now. But even if we weren't on that, you could hear me. It would just be muffled with your headphones on. No, he wouldn't take his earpiece out. He wouldn't participate in conversations. I was like, come on, man, suck it up. They need some of your input here.
Maybe someone told him in his headset, by the way, you're not getting the Monday night gig. Jason Witten's retiring tomorrow, and now we're cutting your headset. Deal with it, Lewis Riddick.
But I will say this. His name was up for several general manager's jobs in the offseason. He's a hyper intelligent guy. He knows the sport and the mechanics of being a GM. And I think there's a lot of teams that could have done a lot worse than putting Louis Riddick in charge of their football operation.
So we're going to watch more Monday Night Football because it's a Joe Tessitore, Jason Witten broadcast team?
As long as they like each other. Because I know Gruden and McDonough had their moments.
If it's a good game, an interesting matchup, I'll watch. Otherwise, and maybe they add a third voice to the booth. Tessitore gets promoted to Monday Night Football. Witten is never broadcast.
Jessica Mendoza will be joining them.
Maybe Louis Riddick could be a third voice there. ESPN, and maybe this is to insider media-y, that, hey, you watch what you watch and whatever. ESPN has to be ticked today. For the first time since they've been doing the draft, more people watch the draft somewhere else than ESPN.
Fox,
because of the over-the-air telecast, right? Yeah. They just simulcast. I literally never put Fox on. But it was the NFL Network telecast, right, that they also aired on Fox. But because people maybe just clicking around the dial, they start with the local channels first. But ESPN's ratings were down 20%. NFL Network up. Fox never did it before. And between Fox and NFL Network, ESPN ratings down.
But the thing is, from a football fan's perspective,
were the highest,
that's what I was going to say. That's
since
all the Manziel, league cares.
Since the Johnny drama back in 2014.
Yeah, so that's all the league cares about, is that overall that the ratings were up. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. I still think it's a little bit too much to go 3 days for the draft. But I was pleased that the first round moved at a rather quick pace. And I said this to the guys in the first segment. The only two teams that sat on it instead of just making the pick they knew they were going to make were the Cowboys, so that the Jones family could get a family portrait in the war room with a couple of shots. And then Belichick and the Patriots sat on it for no apparent reason with their first pick. They were the closest to 6 minutes.
I think every so often, though, that the league says, slow your roll. We have our partners who want to get commercials in. And
well, I think it's up. They're
pre-produced features.
It's up to the commissioner
to
decide when he starts walking out. Because you see in the corner of the screen, it says the pick is in.
Right.
So I think that if they're looking to fill some time or buy some time for their sponsor, like their DXL, let's go down thanks to DXL and interview Josh Rosen, who's anything but a DXL. Then, you know, you buy time.
It was an impressive spectacle. Going for the political convention look of 32 little squares of fan bases that when their team was on the clock. So, I mean, the NFL knows how to put stuff on. For all their warts and whatever people think of Goodell, they do know how to throw a party.
No doubt about it. So, Barry and I were talking a little bit about just surprise picks and the most surprising pick that slid or, what would you say in the first round? The best, what do we say, that Barry,
best value pick.
Value pick, yeah.
When you get who I think was the best football player in the draft and you didn't have to take him number one, it's not like it was any bold move, but the Giants getting Barkley at number two. If you're not hot to trot for any of these quarterbacks, I mean, Eli needs to be replaced. He had been good for 5 years now, but if you're not sold on any of these guys and you think Barkley's a Hall of Fame level, Adrian Peterson type running back, I'm good with that. I did not like what the Buffalo Bills did. Josh Allen, irrespective of the stupid high school tweet stuff, wasn't all that great at Wyoming. There are plenty of big, strong guys who probably have arms that you can find strolling around a Galleria. What they gave up, two number twos to get a project quarterback in Josh Allen. If you're not accurate in college, I don't like your chances to become this accurate guy in the pros. And, of course, I thought the steal of the night was Jair Alexander.
Of course you did, because he's a Green Bay Packer, Barry. That's why he's doing it.
He's
patronizing me right now is what he's doing.
Of course. You don't think Calvin Ridley falling to 26 was a good value?
Pretty solid. And I actually heard you as I was getting ready to come in here. Julio Jones, Bama boys, transition while Julio's still good. I don't know what the deal is with him deleting all his Falcon stuff.
And they still have Sanu. So they got three really good receivers.
I think there was a lot of interesting stuff that happened in the first round, but I think there's just as much that's going to be in the second round, especially at the top, because when you look at what's available and team needs, and you've got Cleveland and New York and Indy, they all have similar needs. I mean, Cleveland obviously needs an offensive tackle. The Giants and Indy both need help on the line, and quarterback comes into play for two of those teams, and defensively, they could all use
Cleveland needs a running back, and there's three good ones sitting right there. So, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Also, added Carlos Hyde from the 49ers. So, if they See, there's a style match. Geis from LSU is more of the speed guy. Could make sense for them. Yep. It's also a spot where they can trade. Everyone has a night to sleep on it. And do the Texans do anything other than play Pinochle, Connect Four, whatever they do to kill another couple of hours? Otherwise, it's not until the fourth pick of the third round. And last night, in the moment, kind of a bummer. Quentin Nelson, the guard, who went a couple picks when the Texans would have been picking at number four. If you wanted one more defensive stud for your front seven, Bradley Chubb or Quentin Nelson, McGlinchey, the tackle who wanted. But no regrets there, because even though 4-12 was a disaster, you got the guy, you got the right guy in Deshaun Watson. If he is healthy, if you had to go through 4-12 and give up the fourth pick in the draft the following year, I think you do that.
Yeah.
But tonight, they should have the third pick in the second round of the draft, where there's plenty of talent still there. But that was the price to dump Osweiler, which right now all that does is add $16 million of profit to Bob McNair. Right? Well, we get more cap flexibility. They're way under the cap.
Yeah.
They haven't spent that money. In fairness, you can roll over cap money year to year, so in a Clowney extension and other moves. But it didn't help them at all in their free agent war chest. It's just extra profit that got rid of Brock Osweiler, that they don't have what would be the third pick in the second round tonight.
And boys, if you thought the bad tweets of Josh Allen's past were an issue, there were more. And now that he's going to the Bills.
More Josh Allen stuff?
It could be a problem. I'll get that to you after the break. Oh, you'll enjoy this. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, got another segment here with Charlie Palillo. It's Barry, Nick, Joel, Usual Suspects on an Friday as we continue to roll on. I've teased this before the break, guys, but we all know that Josh Allen had some tweets that he wasn't very proud of, that he was apologizing for yesterday. And that's a story in itself, because we can get into that, where his people and his team with his agent said they cleared everything in January. But lo and behold, the day before the draft, the night before the draft, and the night, and then the day of the draft, it pops up mysteriously with the actual tweets being shown. And a lot of people believe that a certain team that was hoping to use it as a way of cagey play to get him to slide so they could pick him up might have done it intentionally, which just shows you how dirty this whole system can be. But the one thing I did find kind of amusing is throughout the process of going through all of that, and they were looking through old tweets, it goes to show you that you got to be careful along the way. We talked about this the other day with Larry Nance Jr. Killing Kobe and then ending up with the Lakers and having to kind of go back on some of the tweets he's had in the past. Well, Josh Allen not only had some racially insensitive tweets back in the day, but remember when Brent Musburger got into that whole thing with A.J. McCarron and his showing his girlfriend, Catherine Webb at the time, now his wife, and A.J.'s mom?
Good to be a college quarterback, big man on campus.
Yeah. All of that. Remember that, Barry?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Josh Allen screen captured the pictures of Catherine Webb and AJ's mom and twice put McCarron's girl, though, and McCarron's old lady. Wow. With arrows. Guess who the starting quarterback for the time being is that Josh Allen will be playing with in Buffalo? Hello, AJ McCarron. How's that going to be the first day?
Well, as long as the arrows were up.
Oh, they were pointing right at her. Not up or down, just like, you know, like with this one.
At least McCarron can say, yeah, decent taste, kid. Now get out of my way.
So I don't know how the kid's going to be, but I give him credit for the fact that, as the story goes, and Stephen A. Smith actually even validated, the kid was so concerned about these tweets and the things of his past, he called Stephen A. Smith after 2 a.m. to basically explain himself. And Stephen A. answered the phone.
What did he call him?
I, you know, loud, amongst other things. But no, he tried to explain. And then, like I said, there's this whole other part of the story where they said, and I don't know if it was the Bills or not, or a team that was trying to get him, was interested in him, but there is a camp that believes firmly that a team screen captured everything before, like I said, in January, he cleared his account and then brought it back up, hoping that they could get an advantage. He'd slide and they'd pick him up.
So is all fair in love, war, and drafting, or do you find that despicable?
I find it NFL-ish. I just find it very NFL-ish.
I saw that they did that, but then some people were saying, well, you did it too soon because you left them enough time to refute or you know, do damage control and try to limit how far he might fall. I just think it's fascinating that that's a tactic used nowadays, is just to throw up something that could make a guy look bad so you can get him. And then you're the team that drafted the a-hole. That's kind of weird to me.
Yeah, it is. You know, but again, like I said, the thing is, it's very NFL-ish. Anything is on the table.
Machiavelli, baby. Ends justify the means.
And are you with where are you on the camp of the Darnold was the best quarterback? Because Sean Salisbury, and he said, taking USC bias out of it, he was adamant in the fact that whoever got Darnold got the best quarterback in the draft. One of the things that I liked right off the top in the draft coverage, as I mentioned, was Kuiper was adamant that it was Sam Darnold, and Herbstreit is a huge Baker Mayfield guy, thought the Browns got the right guy.
Go ahead, Barry.
I said early in the college football season, I asked the question, is Baker Mayfield the number one pick in the draft? And, you know, again, people laughed at me and thought I was crazy. So I stuck by that and I stick by it. And, I think the Browns got the guy that probably gives them the best chance to win. Again, though, I would trust Sean Salisbury's opinion over mine because he obviously knows more about quarterbacks and quarterback play. But, and I didn't watch a lot of Pac-12 football, so I can't comment on Darnold necessarily to the degree that I did watch Baker Mayfield, but I don't think the Browns screwed up. I think there was two or three guys that you could take at that pick, and you know, I mean, it's a roll of the dice no matter what you do. The last sure thing was luck?
I'm not big on any of these guys. If Mariota and Winston were in this draft class, they're both going ahead of these guys, I think. And 3 years in, the jury's out on both Mariota and Winston. Josh Allen has the most physical measurables. He just wasn't all that good actually on the field at Wyoming. 56% completion percentage. Darnold, to me, next most looks the part. He's filled out. Man's body to take big the kid. Rigors of the NFL. Yeah. Does not have a huge arm for a big guy, but can make the throws. My questions on Mayfield. He's slight of build. Yep. The Manziel comparison, some fair, some unfair. He had the one drunken, stupid night in Arkansas, but there's no indication he's a serial partier, just out of control in his personal life. But a favorable comparison that Mayfield gets to Manziel, which is bogus, he's not going to be able to run around and freelance. He can't do what Deshaun Watson was doing. He ran a 4.8, 4.40, and he's kind of skinny. So I think the questions are legit. Josh Rosen, somewhere in between, another guy who kind of, all right, physically he had two concussions already at UCLA, but shoulder he's the most issues. Polished. So for where the guys were taken, I like the last two, Rosen at number 10 to Arizona, and then all the way down to Lamar Jackson, where the risk, if you blow it, is much less grave. By the way, all you have is Joe Flacco, so why not take a shot with Lamar Jackson? And by getting him with the last pick in the first round, if it turns out, hey, he's good, you get that fifth-year option by getting him in the first round, whereas everyone's second round and later, they're unrestricted free agent after 4 years.
Yeah, no question about it.
The Lamar Jackson thing is really like the Teddy Bridgewater deal, where you probably got, it was probably a sip to me, and not just because stature-wise, but the way that they played and Heisman Trophy and the hype that came around him and how he fell. I think it's interesting that somebody, again, moved up and grab Lamar Jackson, similar to what Teddy Bridgewater did.
Yeah, the last pick in the first round. Identical in terms of that comparison. Jackson, I think, way more athletic than Bridgewater ever was. But also, for all the running that Jackson did, Bridgewater ran less at Louisville. But Jackson's also a little on the lean side. I don't want to say piano legs, but not a big, thick base. So maybe he's a specialty package guy to sub in for Flacco. But let me put it to you, ask it to you guys this way. 5 years is a pretty good window, right? There are late bloomers, Rich Gannon, Brad Johnson. But for the most part, certainly guys you're taking in the first round, 5 years into their career, they better have demonstrated they're a really good NFL quarterback, or it's not happening, at least with you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
5 seasons from now, when we're chatting on a Friday in 2023, $1,000, if you can name for me the one, if there's one and only one of these quarterbacks who's played in a Pro Bowl, or are you taking option six, none of them?
In a Pro Bowl?
5 years in, where would you throw your dart? At Pro Bowl, not an MVP level, not an All-Pro, one of the best quarterback in the NFL, but they take three per conference. I think if you're taking a quarterback top 10 in the draft, you better be taking him thinking he's going to become a Pro Bowl quarterback for us at some point over the 5 years of his rookie contract.
I think it's Mayfield or Darnold. If we're just talking about the four in the top 10, I think it's Mayfield or Darnold. And I really believe, based on the hype machine and playing in New York City, if he does anything decent at all, I think Darnold will be the first guy that makes the Pro Bowl.
That's tough for me. I think you got to pick a guy that's probably going to be on a team that's going to win. So then the question becomes, do you think the Browns are going to be winners at any point and play well enough to elevate Baker Mayfield? And the same question can be said for the Giants, or the Bills, and the Jets. God, I think I'll take the sixth option.
None of the above.
What you said, none of the above. Yeah.
Leaving that one to Barry, I'll take Josh Rosen with no conviction at all.
Okay. He's an asshole, they said he's the most NFL ready.
That was harsh.
Did you see his quotes after the draft?
Yeah, he
tried not to be an a-hole, so he was.
He's rather full of himself. But if you're good, it's swag. If you're bad, you're an a-hole.
But if the knock on you going in was that you are hard to deal with, not
he
a good
teammate.
He says
he's going to be true to
everything
who he
else.
Is.
And then you go and you try and fake it in an interview, which you said you were going to do anyway. And then in your press conference, you just completely go right back to being an a-hole.
Jazz or Thunder tonight?
I got a sneaking suspicion it's going seven.
I will say Utah is not traumatized, and it's Rockets Jazz game one Sunday night at Toyota Center.
Barry?
I like it. I agree.
Nick?
Jazz.
I'd have to agree.
So you guys all think the Jazz wrap it up tonight?
Yeah, I think they'll get it done. I don't think OKC is going to turn this series around.
It's in Utah, right?
Yeah, yep. Tonight it is, yep.
Yeah. For that reason alone.
Okay. Makes compelling television. Charlie, have yourself a great weekend. Enjoy your softball.
Boy, I hope I never get any worse on your bad side.
I'm not a Rosen fan.
Evidently.
Every time I see him, it gets worse. And everybody, he worked out with Aaron Rodgers. Well, it's not going to rub off. I'm sorry.
Safe travels, Barry.
That's Charlie. Barry in Little Rock. We have one in the books, two to go. 2 hours more of the big show, so don't go anywhere. Much more of the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.